This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimate.
Hey friends, welcome to Checkpoint Intimates. We are a weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one on a particular topic. I didn't write that down. I'm completely memorizing that. Can you tell? My name's Cringe. I'm here with Lise. Hello.
I totally couldn't tell. You did a perfect job.
Just completely making it up as I go. I'm like, that sounds official enough, doesn't it?
It really did. It sounded like you were wearing a suit.
I am wearing the opposite of a suit right now. We are still recording from home because we don't have a studio to go in. So right now, I'm not going to go into detail, but I'm definitely not wearing a suit right now.
I wish I was wearing a onesie, but sadly I'm not. I'm wearing real pants.
Going a little bit Queenslander with my singlet. Like,
not super that proud sounds of it, very Australian, yeah. Sounds
yeah. Ups and downs to it, but it's fine. We're a little bit comfy at home, and we thought it'd be a good chance to talk about comfort games, because I feel like there are a lot of times where, especially over the last month or two, people have been a little bit on edge, a little bit stir-crazy, because obviously we're all locked in our houses, and so it's like, well, how are we going to try and keep sane? And as much as taking the opportunity to play new games or get through games that we thought were interesting is like appealing on one level, I also don't really like exerting energy and effort all the time. Like, that sounds really lazy, but
I don't know. Like games take energy. You use your brain, right?
Sometimes. I mean, there are plenty of games that you can pick up and, like, finish. Well, not in one sitting, hopefully. And it's kind of an easy ride, but I feel like going back through games that you've played before and whether they are story-driven games, you've kind of committed all of it to memory, or it's just kind of low-key throughout. So we'll kind of go through some of them. I feel like a good place to start would be like all the Pokemon games that we played growing up, right? Like, I love Alpha Sapphire and Ruby and Emerald. Those were the ones that... they weren't my first, but they were the ones that I really got into first. And so Sapphire is perfect for that.
It's crazy because I think the last one I played was Crystal, maybe? Because, like, when I was young, the game that, like, my world revolved around was Pokemon Red and Blue. And, like, even then, the fact that you can play those games for so long and the core mechanism doesn't change and you can just go back to it and pick it up and you're like, I know how this works. Like, that is comforting in itself, I think.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's also the general story. I mean, going back to Red and Blue, I feel like the story element wasn't quite as the focus there, right? Like, even put next to something like Gold and Silver and Crystal, there was more of an introduction of story there. But once you get the hang of where you are in the story and knowing where to fly to, right, it's pretty straightforward, and so you can kind of just cruise through the game because these games aren't known for their difficulty.
No. Well, maybe if you get to the end, but actually I don't know what kind of Pokemon player you are, but I'm just like have three or four really strong ones and then, you know, go to the Pokemon League and just wipe everyone out. And then you're like, yeah, I feel good about myself.
Yeah, you just have two or three Pokemon like hoarding all the XP. I used to do that all the time. I would actually go through in Pokemon Sapphire. I would be playing, I'd pick Mudkip as my starter. And so Swampert by the end of it would be the only Pokemon that I have. That's actually useful. It's not an HM slave. And just destroy everything. And my friend was like, you can't just do that. And I'm like, yeah, Jared, watch me. And so I got a little bit headstrong there doing that. But now I feel like that middle ground of having three or four main Pokemon and then like a few cheeky HM slaves is kind of the best way to cruise through those games. Because again, the story, even in Alpha Sapphire, in Heart Gold that I went back and played the other day, I actually was really keen to find the GB Sounds item, which basically makes all of the music the original stuff on the Game Boy Color.
Oh, amazing.
But I couldn't find the cheat code for it, so I just had to settle for the remastered music. It was heartbreaking. But yeah, like
Pokemon games, I don't want to listen to this filth. I want real music. Well, the real deal.
Disgusting. I mean, I'm already playing with like cheats on, so I feel like I'm kind of the filth there. But I mean, when I asked you what games you like to go back to and play, you went to stuff like Planet Zoo and Roller Coaster Tycoon, which is a sort of genre of game that I haven't spent much time on at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I feel like those games are the ones that helped me get into gaming in the first place, because I find it really relaxing to just build things. And I think the fact that it has a non-violent premise as well means that the threshold is really low. There's no way in which you need to perform or build up a skill or measure yourself against other people. It's just you in this sandbox doing whatever you want. And so when I'm like feeling very anxious or stressed at work, the games I go back to are like Planet Zoo, Roller Coaster Tycoon. There's this little indie I've been playing called Islanders. Have you heard of that one?
So when you sent it to me, I was like, oh, is that one of those Apple Arcade games? I don't think it was, but I've actually forgotten about it. So please talk me through it while I Google search what it looks like again.
I clearly didn't give a good pitch because you were like, oh, yeah, that game. And then it just evaporated from your mind. But I promise it's worth your time.
This is a week and a half ago, to be fair. Like, it wasn't a go at you. It's just like, it's been a little bit since we started organizing this.
Yeah, it's not like you're like, it's been 84 years. Which game was it?
We try and organize something and we're like, oh god, how long away is it gonna be? I mean, it looks really, really cute, because so this is a PC game that you were talking about, and it's you said it's sort of in the same vein as those like park building sims, right?
In a way, yes, because basically it's a cross between a sandbox and a puzzle game, because you start on an island and you get a set of buildings, and depending on the way you place them, you get scores per building, and that unlocks more buildings until you get to a certain score, which allows you to go to the next island. But the graphics are beautiful, really colorful, the music is like really, really soothing. And while you have to build up a certain score to like unlock more buildings and go to the next island, it's very gentle, so it doesn't feel competitive at all. And it's one of those games that I picked it up for like, I don't know, $5. It's not expensive. It's like three people who made it, I think, in Germany and in the UK. And I picked it up thinking, oh yeah, like I'll put an hour or 2 hours into this and like then move on to the next thing. But it's really, it hooks you in. They really built in just enough of tension to keep you hooked in with the puzzling without amping up your adrenal levels, if that makes sense. So,
yeah, and they kind of tout that as like something that they're proud of, because in the Steam description, it's got like, this game doesn't have helicopters, guns, loot boxes, a cinematic story, huge explosions, not even small ones actually, online multiplayer, microtransactions, orcs. And I'm like, guys, what? What? Like, went hard, like, on the
where
meter.
Do you get to the good stuff? Yeah, yeah.
It's got this gorgeous low poly, like the visual style you were talking about there, how vibrant it is. I feel like the music would really play into a game like this, right?
Yeah, it does. It's really that like gentle, what you see is what you get kind of vibe. And the first time I played it, I thought, you know, maybe I'll spend 10 minutes doing this. And then I looked up and I was like, oh, 5 hours have passed. Well, then I think I should probably, you know, do something else, like do the dishes or whatever. And then I play it sometimes and then don't go back to it for ages. But then when isolation kicked in and I was feeling stressed about certain things, I just found myself going back to it and going back to it. And now it's like, I don't know, I'm up to 45 hours in that game or something. So
I love it when it kind of like, I say it gets out of hand, but it's not that it gets out of hand. It's that it's such an easy game to just vibe with. Like Mini Metro for me was
this
like tiny little, so Mini Metro, if you don't know what it is, it's another sim where instead of building sort of a town, you're just building the metro system. So it has a bunch of maps from like train networks around the world. It actually has Melbourne as a tram map, so instead of having bigger carriages, you have less lines, more less carriages per tram, and they're slower. So it kind of adds a little bit a bit of a mix there. But it's
was it
super chill.
Made by Australians? I
New
think
Zealanders.
It was, wasn't it? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Over I knew ditch. It was this part of the world.
Yeah. The Dinosaur Polo Club, I think they're called. And
yep.
They released it on Steam years ago. I mean, I think maybe 2015, 2016, because I was Twitch streaming at the time. And my problem with Twitch streaming was always that if I was playing a story game, that always fell totally by the wayside, because I would be talking with people in chat and having a conversation there. And so having kind of a blank, it sounds bad, but like having something that isn't, you know, super engaging all the time, like you can kind of have your mind float a bit and then come back in and be like, okay, cool, I'm back and I'm in the game again. And it's really, really good for that because of the way that it uses sound as well. So to the music you were saying earlier, all of the music of the game is actually procedurally generated. If a passenger gets on a train, it makes a little sound. If the train is moving, it makes a sound. If someone gets off, if there's a station that's getting overloaded, and that's where the challenge sort of comes in.
That's gorgeous. Cool that the music is procedurally generated.
Yeah, it's from Disasterpiece, so the same composer that did the soundtrack for Fez and a bunch of other games.
Cool.
Sort of like not chiptune-y, but borderline chiptune-y. It's hard, like, not chiptune-y, but Bleeps and Bloops-esque, right? Like, it kind of has its own identity, and you can't be like, oh, the music in this game is sort of like this. Like, there isn't really a great parallel for it.
But I think that's kind of key as well, because actually thinking about it, Planet Coaster, Planets Do, Islanders, all those kind of soothing games that I play, they all have a really good soundtrack that's like really layered and complex, but also kind of disappears into the background when you really get into the game. So I don't know, maybe that's a big component of the soothingness of it, if that makes sense.
No, I think the atmosphere is like super important for those sorts of chill games, and like the music really, I mean, when I'm playing games, this is like, I kind of hate it. The more time that goes past, the less time I can look at a screen comfortably. And so if I'm sitting down at a game and I kind of, my eyes will wander and I'll dart over to sticky notes or a message on my phone or whatever else, and I'll get up. But the music sort of staying there, and especially for like phone games, because I've got a tiny 4-inch phone, that kind of encapsulates you more so than the visuals, I find.
I'm just picturing you right now when you said tiny phone. I just pictured you picking up your phone with a pair of tweezers. And it's like, I don't know, it's really tiny.
I have had quite a few friends be like, why is a 6-foot man using a 4-inch phone? And I'm like, Chris, leave me alone. I'll do it. It's fine.
I would just be like, why not? Why not use a 4-inch phone?
Well, there is a new iPhone that's just been announced that I can actually afford. So maybe I'll get a slightly bigger phone. But
are you an Android user right now?
I'm on an iPhone SE. So it's like a 4-year-old, 5-year-old phone, I think, now.
I have an Android, and I feel like in many ways that's kind of a barrier to playing mobile games, because I feel like a lot of the really good ones are released on Apple quicker.
I definitely get that sense. I mean, Apple Arcade is by itself, like, this entire like marketplace of this all-you-can-eat buffet of just here are the sickest mobile games you've ever seen in your life. Because it's not like microtransactions play into mobile games so much. It's really hard to kind of escape that if you're just going through the App Store normally on Apple or Android.
Yeah.
And so there's this game actually on Apple Arcade, Outlanders. Actually, Liz, if you want to look it up, Outlanders is like Outlanders Apple Arcade. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Islanders. Outlanders, Islanders.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of got, instead of working on an island, you just have like these little villages, and they're kind of like building the town, and you need to meet certain criteria. And then once you finish that map, you just move on to the next one. And so
Very similar.
Yeah, right. I feel like that is another take on that sort of game.
Yeah, I feel like I'm also a bit scared of mobile games, because I feel like the temptation would be greater to just play games all day, everywhere you go, no matter what. And yeah, I think for me, I also really enjoy having it separated from, you know, work or like other gigs that you're doing. And just, it's really, I really associate gaming with relaxing, which is funny because so many people are like, oh, I just don't find it relaxing, and it's more screen time and flashy colors. And I'm like, yes, but how is that not a good thing? What's wrong with you?
I mean, you can have both, right? Like, I feel like the mix of relaxing and then involving, and not necessarily like, overstimulating but involving would be like a journey, right? Like something that I feel like everyone, whether they are playing games regularly or whether they barely, like their partner plays games and they see them, like they'll walk into them playing some game. It's like, well, a game like Skyrim or something, you might be like, well, I feel like the violence, as much as there's a lot to explore, stuff like the violence might get people a little bit uncomfortable. Whereas something like Journey, anyone can walk into any point of that game and immediately be on board.
Yeah, totally. And be invested in the art style and the music and that sort of thing. Because I do think a lot of people who think that video games aren't relaxing go to the trope of like, oh, it's like all about guns and
have
swords.
Have you seen Gears of War? And I'm like, yeah, okay, Cheryl, bring it back. Like, I get it. You're a little bit bitter.
Cheryl will be like, Gears of War is sick. I love Gears of War.
Well, whatever you're into, man. But Journey, like the devs that did Journey, that game company, this is another iOS exclusive now, but it's coming to Switch in a few months' time. Sky, have you seen this one, Lise?
Sky? No, yeah. I haven't.
Sky, no. Children of the Light, I feel like it might be the full title. It's pretty much Journey, except MMO.
Yeah, I've looked it up and I've seen screenshots and the art looks amazing, but I haven't played it. But I can see why people would want to play it because it does look like that atmosphere of like beautiful landscapes and music. And because what's the premise? Do you just walk around? Is there a plot? Like what do you do?
It's kind of the same. Well, I mean, whether you've played Journey, like it's kind of the same level of engagement. Sometimes there are puzzles. You need to walk to certain parts of an environment to trigger certain switches. You might need to pick up certain items or whatever else. It kind of maintains that same scope, but occasionally you might need like two people to hit a switch at the same time to unlock a certain part of a certain level. And I think it's somehow gets the same feeling of Journey, but in a different kind of way. Because obviously trying to run a PS3 game on a mobile phone is kind of... I mean, it used to be hard. Now we've got the technology somehow. But
yeah,
it's a different sort of grandiose vibe where you'd have those great vistas in Journey. And these, because the name Sky, you can just fly through so many of these really like shockingly large environments for what's running on a mobile phone.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me when I hear you talking about that game. It also reminds me of Feather, you know, from Samurai Punk.
Oh, I love Feather.
Yeah, I feel like they have made the perfect game for that sort of soothing atmosphere that you can just get lost in, because I feel like the titles that you're talking about, Sky and like Skyrim and Journey, one of the things that they also have in common is that it's just beautiful nature that you can wander around in. And I feel like in something like Feather, that's just, they made it like the main plot point of the game. And I love that because you don't see it very often.
Well, I love that the music is also kind of a core focus. Like,
yes,
you can't necessarily find like unlockable things. Like you'll be able to find trees that have fruit sometimes, but the thing that you seek out as a player, because you need something to kind of lead you by the nose, right, is these music gates. And so when you fly through them, you just get a brand new track. And I'm just like, yes.
And the way that they sometimes have you collide with other people, but you can't talk to them. You just see them passing by as different birds.
Oh, I've got like Switch Online. I can go online now. I haven't actually played it online yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
You totally should. I have. Ooh. Can you play cross-platform, actually? I don't know if you can.
Are you on Switch or PC?
PC. I really want to Switch. Like, I've made it heard many times, but it hasn't worked out yet. I'm working on it.
Soon. It'll happen soon. Maybe Australia will get stuck in 3 years' time.
And maybe then it'll be tax-deductible, actually. So you never know.
Oh, what a concept.
Another one that I've recently played that I found really interesting is Kind Words. Have you heard of that one?
I have heard of it. Yeah, we had someone come on to New Game Plus, plug, a little TV show I do on C31. But someone, it's this like small indie game where you kind of sit down in this room and you just write letters of comfort to people, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, so you sit down in this little room that's basically the interface that you get, and it has a beautiful soundtrack, kind of like, you know, those YouTube study chill soundtracks. It's sort
that's right,
like,
lo-fi beats to write to. I love
it's
it.
It's really, really nice. And you write real letters of comfort to people, so you can put a letter out there where you kind of voice your concerns or your worries, and then other people can respond to you and give you advice, and it's just fully build on people being kind to one another. And I just thought that's a really nice take on, you know, games that literally soothe anxiety, actually. I thought it was a really beautiful idea. And because you don't use your name or you don't use your real initials, it's also, like, completely anonymous. So I was actually thinking, like, oh, my God, that would be so nice for, like, so many queer kids stuck in rural areas and places, that that would give you a safe space to chat about that, which I thought was really cool.
So true. Kind Words, Lo-Fi, Chill Beats to Write To is the name of that one. It is on PC. You can download it on Steam and itch.io as well. I think I might actually be doing that very soon. You have sold
it actually, me. I had a tag on Steam that was just emotional, and I was like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. And then
emotional,
I bought it.
On Steam. I love that. You just have the tag emotional and then below it, Epic Games Store. And there you go. Mm-hmm. Steam users might get a little bit emotional. It's fine. That's a different conversation. This one has been Checkpoint Intimates talking about the chill games that we play. If you've got any, let us know on social media. We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at CheckpointAU. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out, Lise.
Cool. Yeah, no worries. Anytime.
And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
See you soon.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.